Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Weekly Report, dated December 11, 2020. I'm Phil Adler, and I'm speaking with Confluence Investment Management Chief Market Strategist Bill O'Grady. Today, we look at the outlook for gold prices, taking into account their recent decline. First, Bill, would you review for us the place that the category of precious metals occupies in Confluence Investment Management asset allocation models?
Well, Phil, currently we hold 15% in our income and growth portfolio, 12% in the growth and income portfolio, and in growth portfolio, 14% in aggressive growth. Silver is part of growth and aggressive growth at 2 to 3% respectively. The rest is in gold.
So you would say that gold does dominate the precious metals category?
Yes, because it's the purest position in precious metals. Essentially, precious metals are a store of value. Kind of think about it as a non-liability-backed currency. But the further one gets away from gold, the more industrial uses are part of demand, and so they become more sensitive to the business cycle.
And how is this investment carried out? By direct purchase of precious metals? Or through ETFs that look to mirror the price of gold, or perhaps in shares of mining companies?
In our asset allocation portfolios, we use ETFs called grantor trusts to hold the metals. We generally don't hold mining company ETFs, although it is possible we could under certain circumstances.
Now, Confluence began including gold in its models in 2018. Where did gold prices top out before beginning a recent decline?
Gold reached a peak of $2,063 per ounce at the peak in August.
And how great has the decline been since the peak?
Well, prices fell to about $1,760 per ounce, roughly a decline of 15%.
Bill, your thesis is that gold remains attractive at current levels. How do you determine that?
Well, overall fundamental analysis looks at economic data and tries to determine the underlying value of an asset. With commodity analysis, the usual models are supply and demand. Gold's a bit of an oddity in that it never is really consumed. Gold changes its form. It can go from jewelry to bars to coins to art objects. But unlike oil or grains, once these items are consumed, they no longer exist. But gold supply always grows. Over the long run, gold as a financial asset is really protection against dollar debasement. So if the Fed decides to flood the economy with dollars, gold can be a convenient asset to protect purchasing power. Our model is focused on this sort of valuation. We have central bank balance sheets, the dollar-euro exchange rate, the real two-year yield, and the fiscal deficit. In general, these measures are measures of policy stance. A weaker dollar, expanding balance sheets, negative real interest rates, and fiscal deficits are measures of policy stance. When the governmental bodies are in expansionary policy mode, they are often debasing the currency by increasing the supply of dollars at a pace that could lead to inflation. Note that inflation isn't necessarily bullish for gold. If high inflation leads to even higher interest rates, it can be bearish for gold.
How does your gold model compare with widely accepted alternatives?
It's a pretty standard model as these things go.
Your research, Bill, also shows that in spite of the relative attractiveness of gold, investments do appear to be flowing elsewhere right now to some extent. Gold is often seen as a safe haven during perilous times. Are investors simply less worried about disaster these days, or are they excited by the chance of higher returns elsewhere?
It's probably more of the latter. As the models we discussed earlier suggest, gold prices are attractive at current levels, but expectations of a cyclical recovery have lifted industrial metals prices, and with the odds of recession reduced, equities are attractive as well.
And you say that some assets which may have invested in gold have gone instead to Bitcoin. On the face of it, these seem to be very divergent destinations. Part of the attractiveness of gold, it seems, is that you can hold it in your hand. How can Bitcoin compete for the same assets?
Well, Bitcoin, too, is a debasement asset. It is designed with a maximum number of coins that can be mined, and the mining is expensive because of high commuting demand. Bitcoin, too, is a debasement asset. It is designed with a maximum number of coins that can be mined, and the mining is expensive because of high computing demand. One way to see this is its popularity where real debasement has occurred in countries like Argentina and Venezuela. Bitcoin has an advantage over gold that it only exists electronically and thus is easy to move and store. But it also carries a risk in that it is hackable. No one would do the Italian Job movie involving Bitcoin.
Bitcoin prices have had a turbulent history. You point out in your written report that they declined sharply back in February and March of this year during our financial crisis. Are they positioned now to decline again if concerns about the economy suddenly spike for some reason?
Well, it could. Bitcoin is still pretty new. I have generally found that investors under the age of 40 seem much more comfortable with Bitcoin compared to older investors. At its heart, Bitcoin has value because other people believe it does. But that can be said for other assets too.
It would seem that investor fear might be positive for gold prices, but negative for Bitcoin. Am I correct?
Kind of depends on the what kind of fear we're discussing. Mere currency debasement would probably be bullish for both. In March, the financial system was in a much riskier position than is generally understood, and what that episode showed is that in a real crisis, gold is likely to be preferred.
Bill, you say in your written report that you cannot discount the attractiveness of Bitcoin and that gold and Bitcoin appear to be complementary investments. What's the evidence for this?
Well, essentially, they both have value to the degree that investors have concerns about the long-term value of cash. In general, the chart pattern suggests a degree of positive correlation.
At what point might Confluence Investment Management consider including Bitcoin in its family of investments?
Well, at present, there are no investment vehicles we can use to establish positions in Bitcoin. If they are eventually created, we would consider it just like we would consider other assets.
While you remain positive on gold, Bill, is there a price point which might force a reassessment?
Yes, if the price rose well above 2,300 in the short run, but not at these levels.
As we conclude, could you review for us the reasons for your positive outlook on gold and whether the present environment is similar to conditions in 2018 when you first included precious metals in Confluence asset allocation models?
We remain positive on gold due to valuation. In fact, the valuation level is similar now to what it was then. But there was one factor that made 2018 more attractive. The economy was showing signs of running out of steam. We had recession worries in 2018 and thus added gold as a partial recession hedge. That issue is not present now.
Thank you, Bill. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. We wish to state that opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Abner.